You're listening to Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. Hi, I'm George Prentiss. It was April of last year when Kevin Satterlee was named the 13th president of Idaho State University. It's been an eventful year for the new president at ISU, and in a year's time, he has become the old guard when it comes to presidents at Idaho universities, and he'll remain that way for some time. And we're so fortunate that he is in studio with us today and spend a few minutes with us.
Thanks, George. I'm happy to be here.
You bet. So I'm assuming that your office now is all set up and you've got your art on the wall and you're very comfortable. And
I am.
How's the last year been?
It's been really fantastic. I've learned so much. I mean, the best thing probably that's happened in the first year is how much I have learned about the university and all of the great things we do and our students. And it's been a wonderful experience for the first year.
Why did you want this job?
Well, really because I saw the potential for Idaho State University and the things that we could accomplish there. And when some of that potential was unleashed, what that would do for benefit of the state of Idaho and for the students of Idaho State University. And I wanted to see some of that come to fruition so that our students could benefit from it.
You've had quite a career in higher ed, yes?
Yes. I've been in the Idaho system in one capacity or another for over 20 years.
You said you grew up in Priest River.
I did, yeah.
Give us the thumbnail then.
Well,
where'd you go to college?
So I grew up in Priest River. I'm a fourth-generation native of Idaho. Mm-hmm. And did my undergraduate work here at Boise State University, studied political science.
And what was the big dream at that point for you?
It's to go to law school.
Okay.
Yep. And so did my political science here, interned with the legislature for a couple of years, was a researcher down there, and then went to law school at the University of Idaho. Mm-hmm. Practiced law in private practice for a few years, and then in the attorney general's
office. Did you specialize when you were practicing?
It was mostly business practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to work for the Idaho attorney general when Al Lance was attorney general of the state of Idaho. Sure. And then was assigned as the lead attorney for the State Board of Education, which is when I first got into doing education work. And I can honestly say it was like finding the vocation, right? In the true classic definition of a vocation, you know, a true calling. And I've loved working in higher ed ever since.
Excellent. When you came into ISU, enrollment had been dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And so had the school's bottom line. There were some financial struggles at the time. Where are you now? Where are you now, first of all?
Well, right now we're working on enrollment. Mm-hmm. That's a real key for us.
But what does that mean, working on?
So it's about studying two things. One is, how can we affect Idaho's go-on rate? Because mm-hmm. there are plenty of students in Idaho, it's just we have to get them to go on to higher education, to realize the mission of Idaho higher education is to help those students better their lives through education. So we have to find ways to get them to come to our state and universities. And then once they're there, how to retain them so that they continue on progress towards degree. And so our retention efforts are focused around what are the reasons that students don't finish and they don't complete and they stop out. So we have to address those. But on another front, it's how do we get the word out of the choices and opportunities we have at Idaho State University to get students to want to come. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason.
And that's what, marketing?
A lot of it is marketing. Yeah. It's just talking about what we do. It's why we have started our Roar campaign. In marketing and brand image across the state, because students, so if a student anywhere in Idaho, a student who's coming to us from Malad or Castleford or out in Meridian or all the way up in Clark Fork, if they are interested, for example, in health science education, well, they need to know that that's our statewide mission and that we produce 75% of all health care degrees offered in the state of Idaho. But if they don't know that, they might not know that that's a path that they can take. So I want to make sure the students understand they have that choice.
And can we roll back just a second to what you said before about the students who start but don't finish,
mm-hmm.
And the challenges there? And I'm guessing there are many, and most of them personal.
Yes, and it comes in many forms. And that's why on our campus we have formed a task force to really look into the reasons that students don't finish.
But you must be learning something.
We are. And for example, for some of the students it's often financial, mm-hmm. right? Financial obligations or family obligations. Or sometimes it's the experience that they have on the campus that didn't click for them and they didn't stay. And so how do you make sure that that student that comes becomes involved, becomes immersed in their education and wants to continue towards that degree? And so there are a lot of factors. Some of them are small issues, right? If a if a university sets up too many barriers, makes it too hard to register for classes, doesn't have classes available at the right time, especially for students who work and they have a job and they have to hold down a job and go to school. And if you can't have ways to schedule classes or provide the right online programming, you can end up unintentionally setting up a barrier to their retention. And so that's one of the real issues we have to focus on at Idaho State.
But can we drill into that for a second? So, mm-hmm. So I'm guessing it's a bit of a culture change then, because you've got to look for warning signs. You have to have teachers or support staff to be taking the temperature of students.
Right. It's the early warning signs. We're right now evaluating some of the software that is being used in other institutions. Sort of one of the institutions nationwide that has made a major effort in this and been very successful is Georgia State University. Mm-hmm. And there's a software system they're using that is a set of early warning signs that come up in both how students perform in the classroom, what their engagement is. And so those are the kind of things we're looking at, is what do we need to pick up on these warning signs?
And what we didn't talk about when you and I were young on campus was depression and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be talking about this.
Yeah, and I don't have the statistic off the top of my head, but I think we'd all be surprised to know the number of students who report depression and anxiety issues, and the number of visits to our healthcare center that are related to depression and mental health. And it is absolutely true that when we survey the students who don't stay on, that are retained and have stopped out, it is often due to mental health related issues.
Well, he is Kevin Satterley, Idaho State University president. We'd love to hear from you. You can communicate with us via email at IdahoMatters@BoiseState.edu. On Twitter, use the hashtag IdahoMatters, or comment on our Facebook page. That's Boise State Public Radio. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a little news.
Sure.
There was some unfortunate news, but you addressed it last week, and that was an incident of some vehicles where tires were slashed, and I think they were egged on campus, and these were vehicles owned by some foreign students at ISU. What happened?
Well, we got a report. The students were the ones who called our campus safety. We made sure that our campus safety responded, as well as the Pocatello Police Department, to deal with initially the crime report. What they discovered was there were several cars in the parking lot of that area, and only three were vandalized, and all three belonged to some of our international students. So,
you know, ISU has had some issues of hate crimes.
Right, we have. And so we wanted to make sure that immediately we came forward with this. Mm-hmm. So we issued first thing we did is we contacted the students, made sure we had the support programs for them. What do they need? Do they need something different in their housing? Do they need transportation? Do they need counseling services? So we addressed that with them. But then before the morning was over, we sent out a message to our entire campus talking about that this had happened. And the reason was because this is not acceptable conduct. And we wanted to issue in a statement right from the beginning, this isn't acceptable. If this happens on our campus, we're going to deal with it. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to take a stand on it.
Do you have a sense, though, of the culture? Of the root of something like this?
I think, honestly, this is not the norm whatsoever. I think the campus is very welcoming to our international students. I've had several
ISU
meetings.
ISU has had a very rich history with international students.
And I've had many visits with our international students over the course of this last year, and it's a great group of students. I'm very happy they're on our campus and that our campus and community is welcoming. Mm-hmm. But there are isolated incidents, like there are everywhere, and I wanted to make sure we sent the message that we were going to address those immediately when they happen.
Is this local police that's investigating? Who's taking the lead on this investigation?
The local police department is.
And anything to report yet?
Well, I think they're doing a great job. I have full confidence.
It's an open case? Investigation?
It is.
There are so many things I want to ask you about that I'm fascinated by ISU, and one of them is, I'm going to throw you a curveball here.
Sure.
ISU happens to be home of one of the top Bigfoot experts on the planet.
Yes, that's true.
Tell me about this fellow.
Well, I don't know that I could tell you much more than you probably already know. He's in our anthropology department.
Yes.
And that's one of his fields of study.
Okay, let's talk about – oh, I know what I wanted. There was an editorial – An op-ed that was printed in newspapers around the state, and I'm certain that you saw this, authored by Debbie Critchfield, president of the State Board of Education. And the headline says it all. Tuition increases need to occur less often.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but we haven't seen that in a long time.
I know.
Is there any indication that that could happen, that you will slow down the tuition increases?
I hope so. I would love it if we could.
But isn't but aren't your costs continuing to go through the roof?
They are. You know, in Idaho, we have to, if you go back to its basics and understand it, in Idaho, for our legislative funding, we've actually been treated quite well. Mm. I don't have a criticism of the legislature because compared to other states, we do pretty well. But the reality is Idaho universities only are funded by two sources, money from the legislature and student tuition. There's some other smaller dollars from fundraising, others. But that is the bulk of where our money comes in. So we have to find a balance.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I am looking forward to many conversations with you, and all the best to you. Have a great summer.
Great. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Idaho State University President Kevin Satterley about his first year in office. Thank you. And thank you for joining us. Our producers are Samantha Wright and Richard Copeland. Associate producer is Hannah Gardosky. I'm George Prentice. You can hear today's program and previous interviews on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Have a wonderful weekend.